My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball. He's a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He is the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science, and most recently, Human-Caused Global Warming, The Biggest Deception in History, The Why, What, Where, When, and How It Was Achieved. We want to get his thoughts today on the President of the United States announcing the United States is signing on to the Paris Climate Accords, and how many on the left are trying to tie that into the hurricane that is currently threatening the southeastern United States. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Greg.
It was just a couple of days ago, as we knew that the storm Hurricane Matthew was probably headed towards Florida and more of the eastern seaboard, that the president went to the Rose Garden and talked about the fact that we are getting on board officially with the climate accords. Of course, they were negotiated late last year. We'll get to some of the president's comments about the accord in general, but one of the reporters covering this event in the Rose Garden, Ron Allen of NBC News, tried to link the impact of the accord to the type of hurricane that we're seeing right now along the eastern coast of the United States.
As a practical matter, it's very interesting that this is happening on a day when there's a hurricane bearing down on the United States and in the Caribbean, because these severe storms, beach erosion, intense weather episodes that we've had are perhaps the most practical example of what the president is talking about as the threat that the planet faces. And this is what this whole climate agreement signed by 190 nations and now ratified by about 60 or so is designed to stop.
And so the assumption then is that if everybody gets on board globally, we're going to see less volatile weather, and hurricanes like this are going to be much more rare and perhaps a thing of the past. What's your reaction to that, Dr. Ball?
And send me the tax money in the meantime, and give me total political control of your life as well. The Paris Treaty is actually falling apart. If you listen to what that gentleman said, he said there was 195 that were there, but only 60 so far have ratified it. It is, of course, a non-binding treaty, and that fact that it was non-binding was demanded by countries like China and Russia, who said, look, we're not going to tie our hands with this. And, of course, China gone ahead with building two coal-burning plants every 5 days. I mean, it's just laughable. But the whole thing was it was doomed to failure from the very start. The Paris Agreement was to ratify what's called the Green Climate Fund. Now, this is a fund that's held in a bank in South Korea, which should tell you something about what's going on. And it was a replacement for the Kyoto Protocol. The Kyoto Protocol, of course, was set up, and what they needed was a global threat, and global warming became that. And the Kyoto Protocol argued that there were too many people, the basis of it was there were too many people on the planet using up too many resources, and the industrial nations were the biggest problem. And the idea was to reduce the number of people and to control the industrialized nations. And, of course, the way you do that is that you say their exhaust, CO2, is causing global warming. The Kyoto Protocol was set up. 23 nations were identified in what's called Annex A as the developing nations, and they had to pay for their sins according to the amount of CO2 they were producing. And then the money was going to be given over to the developing nations because they were suffering from the sins of those developing nations. It was in trouble from the start because, of course, it was just a great wealth transfer. And when the Kyoto Protocol came before the U.S. Senate, the Senate didn't want to vote on the Kyoto Protocol because, as John Kerry reported to Clinton, he said it's not going to get through because the senators are worried about the cost of lost jobs and lost economy. So what they did was they passed a Byrd-Hagel amendment that said, well, we're not going to vote on the Kyoto Protocol. So they dodged around it that way. Meanwhile, Gore went off to the IPCC, the UN, to try and plea for a better deal. And the Chinese said, you know, go away. Why are you trying to prevent us from getting wealthy? So the whole thing was a disaster from the start, but it really fell apart at COP 15, that's Conference of the Parties 15, where the Kyoto Protocol was supposed to be finally put in place. And then the emails were leaked showing that the science was corrupted and it died. The next year at Durban, COP16, they approved this Green Climate Fund as a replacement, and Paris, which was COP21, that is 21 years after the first conference of the parties in Berlin, was set up to approve this Green Climate Fund. It's just a total joke. The idea is ultimately that countries are supposed to contribute $100 billion a year. And, I mean, they're not even, I think the total amount is something like $4.7 billion put in so far. But, of course, what's ironic about it is that Russia and China were supposed to get the money. And they were at the Paris conference saying, hey, send us our money, give us our money. And meanwhile, they're producing coal plants and advancing their economies to the detriment of the Western world, developing world. And you see this in the coal plants being shut down by Obama and so on. So it's a travesty from the start. It was the use of science for a political agenda, and it's properly collapsing around its ears.
And Dr. Ball, you alluded to something very early on in your response, and I'm not sure that maybe you saw the president's comments in the Rose Garden, but he actually said, even if everybody does what they promised to do here, it's still not going to be enough. Here's what he said.
The Paris Agreement alone will not solve the climate crisis. Even if we meet every target embodied in the agreement, we'll only get to part of where we need to go. But make no mistake, this agreement will help delay or avoid some of the worst consequences of climate change.
So if it only takes us part way of where we need to go, where do you think he wants to take us?
He wants to take us to complete socialism, to one world government controlled by the UN with the carbon tax around the world. And by the way, in Canada's prime minister just autocratically decreed a carbon tax for all of Canada under the protestation of the provinces. So that's what he's doing. But that idea that the original Kyoto where he's saying the Paris thing won't deal with all the problem, that was known about the Kyoto Protocol. Even if it was implemented in its full form, even the scientists were saying it will not be a measurable difference. The Paris Climate Agreement is even worse. But when you present this to them, and I remember putting it to David Suzuki, a Canadian environmentalist, said, look, it's not going to make any difference. And countries are putting themselves in jeopardy economically while others are just ignoring it and going ahead. And the answer was, well, it's a start. Well, of course, that's what Obama is saying. This is just the beginning. Well, if this is just the beginning of total world government and a global carbon tax and loss of your industry and your economies and everything else, where the heck is this going to go from here? So it truly is frightening what's going on.
Dr. Ball, just from a climatological perspective, because that was kind of the premise for our conversation today, when it comes to major events like Hurricane Matthew, is human activity in any way responsible?
Absolutely not. And if you look at the forecasts, the climate forecasts of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is supposedly the authority for all this, the world's going to get warmer and more disasters and so on. And by the way, Hurricane Matthew arrived off the coast of Florida on the 4,000th day of no recorded landfall hurricanes in the United States. This is why they had to hype it so much. But if you look at the forecasts of the IPCC, since 1990, they've been making forecasts. Every single one of them has been wrong. And, of course, the basics of science is that if your prediction or forecast is wrong, your science is wrong. But they're not admitting that. They're pushing ahead anyway. And so from a science point of view, it is an absolute disaster, and it's completely unnecessary. CO2 is less than 4% of the total greenhouse gases, and the human contribution of that is 0.04%. Yet they completely ignore water vapor, which is 95% of the greenhouse effect. So it is contrived science for a political agenda, and of course Obama is using that for his socialist agenda and his legacy.
It's not just the politicians who like to use this for their own sake. The media absolutely love hurricane coverage. They go wall to wall. They have the spinning radar constantly showing it down in the corner, along with their split screens of any high winds and rain and so forth. The media is always excited about it, but Shepard Smith over at Fox News seemed to take it to another level on Thursday. I want to play that and get your reaction to not only him, but the media in general.
See this? Melbourne, Daytona Beach, all the way up to Jacksonville. This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die too.
So we're obviously not talking about the science anymore, but the media coverage of it. Dr. Ball, what do you make of the hyped up, some would say, coverage?
Well, it's more than hyped up. It's grossly irresponsible. It's grossly irresponsible. And to notice that it's all prefaced around, oh, he said if it moves 20 miles to the west. Well, even if that happened, if it moved 20 miles to the west, as the hurricane gets over the land, the wind speeds are abated dramatically. And one of the things that Shepard Smith doesn't understand, and most of the people that are doing this, including, by the way, the Hurricane Center, is they determine the wind speed of the hurricane over the water because they have no surface wind speed measurements. They determine it by flying an aircraft through at 30,000 feet. It gets a wind speed up there, and then using a computer model, it calculates the wind speed at the surface. In every single case, that has been wrong. It happened with Katrina. They said, oh, it's a Category 5, and it actually was barely a Category 3 by the time it got ashore. The same thing is happening with Matthew. And if you look at the computer tracks of where the hurricane was going to go, and it was all over the place. If they even had one of them where it was going to loop back around to southern Florida again. So they couldn't even forecast accurately, every single computer giving you different predictions and different forecasts. So this is anything but precise science, and it's everything, including extremism and exploitation. And what Shepard Smith said, as I said, there should be some level of it's almost like shouting fire in a crowded theater. There's that level of irresponsibility to it.
Dr. Ball, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for providing your expertise.
Well, thank you, Greg, and hopefully people can start to listen beyond the headline.
Dr. Tim Ball is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He is the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science, and most recently, Human-Caused Global Warming, The Biggest Deception in History, The Why, What, Where, When, and How It Was Achieved. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.